I invite you this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm 65. While you're turning, let me express my gratitude to your pastor for inviting me out here, and to this congregation for their warm reception and fellowship, and to the dear ladies. I'm acquainted with what it takes to put on one of these things, and I'm telling you, you need to be thankful for these ladies that have taken care of us. I count this a great privilege to be here, and I hope I never lose sight of the honor and privilege that my God and Savior has given to me to be his ambassador. And to bring this glorious gospel to chosen sinners. Well, I've talked to you about the basis of our faith and the salvation of our souls. And I talked to you about the revelation of his righteousness. And this morning I want to finish up my part in this conference on this subject, the blessed man. Psalm 65, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now, let me be quick to point out that the first application of this verse is the Lord Jesus Christ. God's preachers preach a person. That's what separates us from the rest of the ministers of this world. We preach a person. Salvation's not a what, it's a who.
Amen.
Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God's preachers preach a person. They preach the glorious person of Jesus Christ. There's only one man who is by his own merit blessed of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of us are blessed in him. I read it to you Friday night. God's elect are blessed by the Father with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God blessed him, and in so doing, he blessed us all. There's only one man by his own merit and work whom God saved. God saved one man, period. The rest of us he saved in him. Listen to this. Paul said, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us, where? In Christ Jesus. There's only one man by his own merit and work worthy of preservation. The rest of us are preserved in him. Isn't that what it says in Jude, verse 1? Preserved in Jesus Christ. There's only one man by his own character and work worthy to be judged righteous. The rest of us are righteous in him. And there's only one man by his own character and work worthy to receive God's inheritance, and that's God's dear Son. And all the rest of us are adopted in Him. In Him. God only loved one man. And He loved us in Him. In Him. Paul said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come, nor life, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So today, as we go through this psalm and talk about the blessed man, I want you to be clear on this. I'm talking about Christ and all those that the Father gave to Him before the foundation of the world. We're not here trying to get membership up a little bit. It'd be nice if it was up a little bit, but we're not here for that. We're not here to try to convince men of Calvinism, nor do I have any other agenda. We're here to point men and women to the crucified, risen, victorious, reigning Redeemer. Amen. That's who I want you to see. Him. Him. Salvation's in Him. Love is in Him. God chose us in Christ that we might be without blame, without fault, faultless. Now listen, before Him in love. Oh, I tell you, in Christ, I'm lovable. In Christ, the Father smiles on me. He loves me. I remember when I was just a young boy, we attended a little Nazarene church up in northern Ohio. And one evening, we had a little bench down front. Look, you've seen picnic table benches, big long benches, that's what it was. And it was down front, and after the service, he had what they called an altar call. And nobody was coming forward, so he started through his procedure, you know, and every head bowed and every eye closed, you know, and we sang about 59 verses of Just As I Am, and he's trying to get somebody to come down the aisle. And finally, he began to talk about this altar. And he said, there's no efficacy in this altar whatsoever. He said, it's just a place where men meet God. Now, let me tell you something. If you can find a place where men meet God, it'll have more efficacy than you know what to do with.
That's right.
And that place is the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Isn't that what he told his disciples? Oh, my soul. This man, Jesus Christ, the scripture said, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost who come unto God by him. By him. He said this. They were all confused. We don't know where you're going. How should we know the way? They were confused. I'm confused half the time. They were confused. And the Lord singled out this man and he said, listen to me. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Christ is the blessed man. And Paul writes these words about his Savior. He is overall, listen, God blessed forever.
Amen.
This is the blessed man. He's the blessed man. And I want to take my text tonight in its natural order and talk just a little bit about the blessed man. This blessed man. First of all, David tells us by the inspiration of God that the blessed man is the man chosen of God. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. I don't know what you think about election. Most folks don't understand it. To some it appears almost as a curse. But here the Holy Ghost clears up whatever ignorant ideas we might have about it and tells us that election is a blessing of God. Isn't that what that says? God's election has nothing to do with damnation. That's what men say when we talk about election. They run over and start talking about the damned. Election has nothing to do with damnation. Men and devils will perish in hell not because God didn't choose them, but because they love darkness rather than light. Election doesn't bar the door for anybody to come in. It slings the door open. It's man's ignorance, rebellion, and sin that condemns him, not God's election. Election marks out those he intends to bless, not those he justly will condemn. Oh, how this religious world despises the election of God. They despise it because it declares their utter worthlessness. It's an election of grace. They despise it because it denies all their so-called human rights. They despise it because it does not consider their works or will. He held up there in Romans 9, you can read about it. He told that young lady she had twins in her womb. And he said, of these two children, before they was ever born or ever did any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, the elder's going to serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Election. I don't know what people think about it. But my friend, whatever rights we had were all forfeited in our father Adam by one man. The scripture said, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. By the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Election is God choosing a people out of what would otherwise be a condemned race and marking them out for mercies and blessings beyond their wildest dreams. How is election a blessing? You ever stop and think about it? How is election a blessing? It's a blessing because He chose us in His Son. Everything God gives to His Son, He gives to those He chose in Him.
Amen.
Listen to this. Our Lord's about to go to the cross and fully accomplish our righteousness and redemption. And He lifts His head up to heaven and He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. Oh, my soul. Election establishes provision for the sinner. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. People say, well, that's elections choosing you to the possibility. That's not what that says.
No, sir. No.
I said, God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And then Paul added, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Election establishes provision for the sinner. Let me tell you something you may never have thought about. I was going through the book of Genesis several years ago, and I came to chapter 2, and I read those first two verses, and I started thinking about it. Back yonder, after the creation of the world, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and rested from all his work. Now wait a minute. Didn't he know Satan was cast out into the earth? Didn't he know that? Did he not know that Satan would beguile Eve and that through her Adam would fall and the rest of the human race would be condemned? Did God not know that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart would be only evil continually? Did he not foresee the flood, the Tower of Babel, the fall of Israel? Did he somehow overlook the rise of Antichrist religion and its devastating worldwide effect on men? No, he knew what was coming. Well, how on earth could he rest from his works? Because he gave the whole shooting match over into the hands of the great mediator of God. That's why. And he rested. And Paul said, when you learn that, you rested too. Ephesians 1:12 said that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. I'll tell you, if he can rest, I can.
Amen.
It's his unrest that causes me problems. But if he can rest, oh my soul, I can rest. And then secondly, the blessed man is the man that God calls us to approach him. And again, I remind you to apply this to Christ first. God sent him into this world and caused him to approach him as our representative and substitute. He said, I didn't come to do my will. I come to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. Don quoted this verse from Hebrews chapter 10. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. What will? His redemptive will. Was it not the cause of God that brought him into this world? That caused him to live as a servant under the law that required his death on the cross? Blessed is the man that God causes to approach unto him. Christ has not entered, the scripture said, into holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. By his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him might have everlasting life. Now if those things are so, and they are, listen to this scripture, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He who caused him to approach his holy bar of justice, raised him from the dead, made him to sit at his own right hand, causes us to approach him. Because our God caused our Lord to approach him on our behalf and became of him, accomplished in him, and because of his accomplished redemption, he can now cause us to approach him and receive us in him and distribute all those spiritual blessings purposed in him before the foundation of the world. A young lady asked this question to one of our men the other day. She said, if man's dead, that's what your preacher said, he's dead. One fellow got his belly full. He said, dead, that's all that man knows, dead. If man's dead and blind and ignorant, and if there's none that understandeth and none that seeketh after God, if his mind is enmity against God, and he, as your pastor said, is confined in a nature of sin, why does he preach? Why does he present arguments? Why does he compel men and women to do what he tells them man can't do? Because I know that God will cause his elect to approach him.
Amen.
That's why. And if he ever does, he'll do it through the preaching of the gospel. Write it down. Write it down. Oh, my soul, one day you'll be sitting there counting ceiling tile. Might be there because your wife invited you and you just got tired of telling her no. And then God speaks. And that preacher disappears. He disappears. And you start to hear from God. And I tell you, when he does, you approach him. You approach him, then you'll see him. Then you'll have understanding. I don't preach because I think men have a potential to believe. I don't preach believing I have some hidden power to convince men and women of anything. I preach because God ordained preaching to save them that believe. And that's exactly what he's going to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen. So this blessed man, the blessed man. People tell me, well, I'm blessed, preacher. I have 100 houses. And I get rent from all of them. And I've got all this money. God bless me. I doubt it. I doubt it. I really doubt it. You've got no interest in him. You're not a blessed man. But a blessed man is the man chosen of God. And a blessed man is the man that God causes to approach unto him. And then thirdly, the blessed man is the man who dwells in the courts of God. Listen to what our Lord tells his beloved disciples. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And one day we'll tread his courts. But that's not what this song's talking about. This song's talking about right now.
Yes, sir.
Right now. Now I know that most everyone here believes and has a hope of dwelling forever with the Lord in heaven, and we believe in his second coming and his resurrection of the saints. But in this passage he tells us something I think we overlook. In John chapter 14 verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How can you be present with us and communicate with us, and we have fellowship with you, and you have fellowship with us, and the world be totally oblivious to it? How is that? How is that? And the Lord said to him, if a man love me, he'll keep my words. And my Father will love him. Are you listening? And we'll come unto him. And we'll make our abode with him. God has a kingdom, not of this world, not recognized, not seen, not believed by this world. And every called, regenerated, believing saint of God dwells in his courts.
Amen.
If I step on that airplane down at the airport, I'm in his courts. And I get in my car to go buy groceries, I'm in his courts. I'm walking in this world in his courts. He owns the whole shooting match.
That's right.
Amen. I remember old brother Charlie Payne, before he died, said he was on a train with a fella, and this fella was from Texas, and they were going out across Texas, and this guy said, man, this, I forget what it was, that big King Ranch or whatever it is down there, and he was telling him how big it was and how far it was, and Charlie said, we've been on my Lord's farm ever since we left the train station. And not likely we'll get off of it.
No, sir.
He owns the whole shooting match. Because he dwells in us by union of faith and nature, we walk his courts upon this earth. As lively stones, we're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, and form what he calls an holy temple in the Lord. Believers know that Christ sits on the throne and all things are his and ours in him. Paul said, you're down here quibbling over whose preacher you saved on. My soul, he said, don't you know that Paul is yours and Apollos is yours and the world is yours and the whole outfit's yours in him? Providence is yours. God to turn this country upside down, this great United States, and he'd shake it like a bag of empty marbles just to bless one of his children. He said, I've destroyed nations for you and people. Oh, we tread his courts, we walk his courts. And then fourthly, the blessed man is the man who's satisfied with the goodness of God's house, even of his holy temple.
Amen.
I can't hardly talk when I think about it. The goodness of God's house. Is it not the goodness of God that chose you in Christ and made you an heir of glory? Is it not the goodness of God that made provision for the sinner in Christ? Chose for him a Savior? Made for him an everlasting covenant? Ordained for him a high priest in things pertaining to God? Is it not the goodness of God that sought us out and brought us to Christ? Is it not the goodness of God that led us to repentance? Brought us to him, revealed our sonship in him, and caused us to cry out to him, Abba Father. Is it not the goodness of this glorious house that clothed us and justified us and washed us from our sins? All those who are truly blessed of God are satisfied with the goodness of God's house. All his provisions of grace provided in that house. His word, his ordinances, his gospel, his fellowship. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, that's where I am. Now you go out in the woods and try to find him if you want to. Go out on the lake and the streams and try to find him. I'll tell you where God's at, where his people gather together. Not going to find anything to heal your broken heart or cleanse you from your sins or bring you nigh unto God out yonder in this world. But you can find these things in God's house because God dwells in his house. There will I be in the midst because this is where the light is. He said to his church, you are the light of this world. You want light? Don't look for it out there. Isn't any light out there? The church is the pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
And I tell you something else. They're satisfied with the goodness of God's house because this is where the Holy Ghost works. To reject the assembling of the saints, to reject the preaching of the gospel, is to reject what Paul said was the things of the Spirit of God. He didn't say you rejected the Spirit of God. He said you rejected the things of the Spirit of God. And I tell you what John said. And I tell you this, as many who have experienced this in their heart, they're satisfied with the goodness of God's house. And John said they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they were of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. You find the man who's blessed of God, chosen of God, calls to approach unto God, who walks in his courts, and I'll show you a man that's satisfied in the house of God. He's satisfied. He's found everything he ever wanted. Huh? Where could you find people like this? I've went to church all my life, and I'm telling you right now, there are not people like this out there. Those people are cold, cruel. These people love you. They don't know me from man in the moon. Just that the pastor called me up here. Heard me preach, what now, 3 times? But they love Christ and they love me. That's the way it was down in Arkansas. I didn't know those folks. Isn't that something?
Yes, it is.
He's satisfied. Satisfied with the goodness of God's house. May God make it so today.